welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, me, it's Ariel, and...
me, Raylene.
Woohoo! We're very excited to be here today talking about some books. As always, we're going to talk about what we're reading right now. We're going to answer some recommendations and do our book news segment. I have a pretty weird piece of book news for you today, Raylene. It's kind of strange, but I'm excited to share it.
I can't wait to hear it.
But yeah, before we jump in, we wanted to let everyone know that we are ramping up to do our next book club read. Mm-hmm. So these are just, we're going to do these a couple times a year, and we want to give everyone time to vote, but also time to get the book. Obviously, depending on how popular a book it is, it takes people more time to order it if you're in a country that doesn't publish it, or if you're trying to wait for it from the library. So yeah, the first thing we need to do, everyone, is vote. So head on over to our Patreon at patreon.com/booksunbound. And while you're there, you can, I don't know, maybe think about supporting us, I guess.
Do more than just vote. Come on.
But yeah, you can throw in your vote for which book you want all of us to read together. And then we'll do a special episode like we did for our last book club. We also wanted to say a huge thank you because we reached our goal of $500. Wahoo!
So exciting.
So exciting. So we have officially brought on Holly as an assistant to our team. We're calling her the Queen of Time because she's helping us make sure that everything gets released on time, which is very helpful. Mm-hmm. But without further ado, Raylene, what are you currently reading?
Well, I realized that it had been forever since I'd read a graphic novel, so I decided to pick up a graphic novel, because the last book I read, which I'll talk about later, was huge, and so I wanted to read something quick.
Okay, yeah.
And that book is Bloom
by
Kevin Panetta and Savannah Ganuchot.
I just picked that up for Christmas, so yeah. I haven't even had it in my house like 3 weeks yet.
I know, right? I bought this when you and I were hanging out in the summertime, and I'm just reading it now.
You're right.
And while I'm reading it, actually, I feel like it's more of a summer read, but I don't really care. It's really good so far. I'm just over the halfway point. I just started it yesterday, and I'm going to finish it tonight for sure.
Yeah.
But this one...
It is a pretty long graphic novel,
Yeah, it's
though.
Like 400 pages. No, not quite 400. Like 350. So it's pretty long for a graphic novel.
Yeah.
And this one is a really kind of cute and wholesome coming-of-age story. The main character is this guy named Ari, and he basically wants to be in a band. He's in a band with his friends, but that's, like, what he wants to do, and his parents own a bakery, and so they want him to stick around and, like, work at the bakery.
Classic.
But he's like, I don't care about bread. I want to go make music, man. And
I don't care about
bread. And actually, can I just say, within the first, like, 20 pages, he makes sourdough bread. So I thought you would appreciate that.
I need to start. Okay, you know how you have a collection of cat books? I need to start a collection of bread-based fiction.
I love it. There's probably only 3 books. Give Ariel recommendations for bread.
Yeah, that's so funny.
But yeah, and then in the story, basically, another character, Hector, shows up because his grandma died and he moved to this, or he's coming to this town basically to go through her stuff and get rid of her house or whatever. So then he comes and he loves baking. He loves cooking. He went to culinary school. And so he shows up wanting to, because basically at the bakery, Ari puts up a posting saying we're hiring because he wants to hire someone so that he can leave.
Yes.
And then Hector comes and he gets the job and then they just end up working together and it's about them baking and making bread and love and friendship blossoming and it's beautiful. So
it sounds perfect.
It is really nice. Perfect. And the art is so cool. It's all in blue tones, like black, white, and blue. And it's gorgeous. I think I might take a picture of it to put on our Instagram because it's just so beautiful.
I love that.
Yeah.
I remember a lot of people had been talking about that one.
Mm.
And I was very curious about it, but I was also like very cognizant that it was a kind of a straightforward YA romance.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, I've read a lot of that. I don't know if I necessarily need another one, but I will check it out because so many people have talked about it. And I sat down and started to flip through it, and I was like, well, I need this, because this is just so pure and good and happy, and I'm sure there's, like, trials and tribulations in there, but I'm, like, excited to read it.
Yeah, and some of the pages are just, like, kind of vignettes of like them doing stuff, but there's also like flowers like drawn in, and it's so pretty because bloom, flowers, love is blooming. You see,
I get it.
Oh, but it's beautiful. It's truly beautiful. I love graphic novels that are just like simple in the color palette.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, it seems like it would be hard to do that and do it well, but it comes across really nicely when it's done well.
Yeah, Laura Dean Keeps Breaking Up With Me was all shades of pink.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of others, and I know I've read them, but yeah, that was the
There's a purple one, I think. I don't remember which one it is.
Yeah, is it This One Summer?
Yeah, I feel like that might be it.
No. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still reading Normal People.
Hey, that's fun.
I thought about starting something else this week, and then something you said last week really resonated with me, that every time I show up here, I'm reading something else but not finishing anything.
Yeah. Oh, actually, that reminds me. I have a question for you. Have you finished Sourdough yet?
I'm upset that you asked me that question, because now I have to share on live radio that no, I have not.
Oh, that's so sad.
I have such a problem. I don't know. It's funny. I think that there are so many different types of readers. There really, like, obviously there is. And I am just coming to terms with the fact that I am not a pick one book up, finish it, put it back down, and then pick another book up, right? Like, I just don't go in order. And it's not like that I will never finish Sourdough. I want to. Like, if you were to ask me right now, what book do you want to finish? I'd be like, well, Sourdough's up there. But, like, it's just not the moment.
That's so funny. How many books do you think you currently have, like, in progress, if you had to guess?
Probably, like, 6 or 7. But the problem is that, like, some of those books will... kind of like what happened with The Vegetarian, where I got like a third of the way into The Vegetarian. I had every hope and dream of finishing that book, but like 2 years went by, so I was like, I'm gonna have to restart this.
And that
so, like,
sucks. That I kind happens. Of I hate having to restart a book, but I've definitely done that a couple of times. Not very often, but it has happened. So
that
you're not alone.
That doesn't happen to me very often either, but it does happen. And what will happen is, if that much time goes by, I will just give up and never finish it.
Yeah, so that's how I operate now. It's like, if I take that long to finish something, it probably means I don't want to finish it, is the way I see it.
Yeah, or it's just not the moment. But I like it's, I don't know, with some things, like Sourdough is a perfect example of like, I definitely want to finish it. I was loving it. I'm like so excited to finish it. But then the new year started, and I was like, new year, new me, gotta start new books.
Gotta
and
put those all in the past.
I've read like 4 other books this month, or I think five now, because of the one I just finished, and I just like haven't gone back to it yet, but I will.
That's okay. I'll keep checking in just to make you feel bad.
So I'm still kind of chipping away through Normal People, but funnily, I also wanted to mention that I'm also sort of currently reading Conversations with Friends by Sally Rooney.
That's
because a very long time ago, I got it as an audiobook. And it's a new year, and I was like, oh, I've got to start a new audiobook for when I'm driving around, and that finally came up again, and I was like, well, I'm very curious about Conversations with Friends, so I'm kind of reading 2 Sally Rooney books, sort of a mistake, because it's all going to blend together, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's
because,
a weird
like,
choice.
They're both contemporary novels about young Irish people, do you know what I mean? Like, they're
all
they're
be
very
quite similar
settings and stuff, so... but I think I'll finish Normal People long before I finish Conversations with Friends, just because audiobooks tend to take me longer. Because I don't really sit down and listen to them in like a devoted amount of time.
Right. Whereas I'm kind of the opposite. I like to, if I'm listening to an audiobook, it's like for a purpose. It's usually because I'm working on some kind of craft project. And recently I blasted through and finished the crafting project I was working on, which took me like a million hours. And so I finished Needful Things by Stephen King, which is huge. I listened to like 10 hours in one day because I was just like, got a cross stitch. But
that's crazy. That is so long.
Yeah, it was nuts. But now I'm looking for another audiobook, but I don't know which one to listen to, so recommendations
that
would
is
be
a real
really great
that, yeah, I'm gonna post about that because I can always use more recommendations for audiobooks,
right? Because I like to know which books are specifically good audiobooks. Like, I don't want to just listen to an audiobook of a book I want to read, because what if it's not a good audiobook, you know what I mean? Like, what if the reader is bad? What if it's not fun to listen to? I don't know.
All right, well, you alluded to it, and I actually know what it is because I follow you on
Goodreads,
clearly. But I'll ask the question, I'll entertain it. What was the last book you finished? I'm so curious.
I can't wait to find out. What if I just like threw out a random title and you were so surprised?
Yeah, seriously.
Well, the book that I finished was the book that I was reading last week, and that is The Secret History by Donna Tartt, folks.
I can't believe it. I'm proud of you.
I can't believe I finished it in a week, but the craziest thing is that I read this like from the middle to the end all in one day.
That is crazy. I cannot believe that you finished this in a week, especially like this. I just feel a little bit of a bond between you and me in this book because like it was a big mashed potato book for both of us that we talked about. So I'm really proud of you for conquering that mashed potato.
Thank you.
But
it felt so good.
Really jealous.
Yeah. You should just start it soon because the thing is, it's like we were talking about last week. The book is bigger than it looks or than it feels. But once you get reading it, it's like, it's really good and you want to keep reading it. I will say the first half or so was quite slow, but I wouldn't say that it was bad in any way. It was just like not a whole lot was going on. It was just about the characters meeting and getting to know each other.
Okay,
but by the halfway point, like, you know, they all know each other really well and crazy stuff is happening. And it was like a thriller. Like the second half until the end was like a thriller. It was,
that's so crazy.
Yeah, it was so like it still had the kind of slow Donna Tartiness to it.
Yeah,
but it was so exciting to read, and it was just like, what the heck is gonna happen next? And yeah,
so how many stars did you give it?
I gave it 5.
Wow.
Yeah, I was, for the first half I was like, this might be a 4-star read because it's just not like grabbing me and like giving me that feeling of like, wow, this book is amazing. It was just like, yeah, this is really good. But by the time I got to the end, I was like, holy shit, that was awesome.
That's so exciting. What did you give The Goldfinch?
I gave that 5 also.
Wow. Okay, so here's what's funny. Basically, I don't know why, and I swear to God, Raylene, I don't know why, but 2 days ago, I started binge watching every interview that Donna Tartt has ever done. And there is not a lot of them. Let me tell you, some of them are really long. They're like 30-minute interviews, but
yeah,
she's only done like one for every book.
Whoa.
Or like 2 for every book. And
yeah,
so you see her like when The Secret History came out, which is her debut, right?
Yeah.
And it's like 92 and she looks very young. She's like 28 or 29 and she's talking about her book and she has this really deep like Southern accent, which is really interesting
because
she's from Mississippi. And then like 15 years later or whatever, she does one for The Goldfinch and her accent has changed, which is really interesting because I think she'd lived in New York for a long time, and so like her accent had changed, but she still looks the exact same because she has a really severe black hair bob and she wears a suit and a tie in every single thing she is so like, I don't know, she just feels like a literary figure of time. Like, when we write about her, we'll be, like, in her suit and her tie and her severe black bob. Like, I don't know, she's so cool, but she's so interesting. And she's very, like, she's quite reclusive. She's not, like, hiding away and doesn't reveal anything. Like, we know she has a pug, and I think his name is Punch, which is amazing.
Oh, my God.
And, like she talks openly about her life when asked, but she only does these interviews, like, every 10 years. I don't know, she was so fascinating. But anyway,
that's really
cool. Watched all of these interviews, like, throughout a whole day that I was, like, just hanging out and working and tidying and stuff. And then I go on Goodreads, and you'd finish The Secret History. And I was like, what the hell?
It was a Donna Tartt day.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I did? Right when I finished The Secret History, I immediately went on Book Depository and bought The Little Friend.
Oh,
because that's the only book of hers I don't own. Because I was like, that one gets very mixed reviews. The average rating is like 3.4 on Goodreads. So it's obviously not her star book. Like the other two books are obviously more popular. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to read it. And I wanted to get a copy that matched my Secret History because I have this weird UK edition.
Yeah.
That is just has a good feeling to it. So I thought I would get her other book in that edition. So
one day
I will read that guy as well.
That's so cool. Yeah. Well, I'm so glad that this has been such a success story for you. I'm really proud of you.
Right, like mashed potato books, sometimes they end up being amazing. They might not always, but
I know.
I wonder what you'll think when you read it. That's what I was thinking while I was reading it too. I was like, will Ariel love this?
I recently posted a video. This is a perfect segue, Raylene. I recently posted a video called like my 5-star book predictions. Mm. And in that video, I talk about 5 different books that I think I'm going to give 5 stars to.
Yeah.
One of them is The Secret History. But another one is the book that I finished last week. So exclusive to everyone.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
If I gave it 5 stars or not, it was the Animal Farm graphic novel.
Oh, of
that
course.
I just picked up recently. I think Connor gave it to me for Christmas. I don't think it was like specifically a Christmas present, but it was kind of like around Christmas. And I just thought I would give it 5 stars because I love graphic novels. The art style was beautiful. It's adapted from George Orwell's like work. So like, it's not like Odyr, the artist Odyr, spelled O-D-Y-R, if you want to look it up. He wasn't like making up his own like speech bubbles or anything. Like, everything was direct quotes from the book.
Oh, that's
and
great.
I was like, I just think I'm going to love it. And obviously Animal Farm is my favorite book. And so I read it and I gave it 5 stars.
So good.
Absolutely loved it. I'm like obsessed with it. I'm so glad that I read it. I'm so glad that I found it. I'm so glad that it exists. I wish that people would read classics, but some people don't want to, and that's fine. The story is what's really important, and the like themes and the messages of that book to me are just so important. And so to see them in a different way that's going to reach very different readers and different people, I think is so good. And like, I really think that a lot of people will read it and be like, wow, this is really cool. Maybe I should check out more from George Orwell, you know? So it will still have that same net effect. But anyway, it was just so beautiful. The art is flawless. So many of the panels, I was like, oh, this is breathtaking. Some of the things felt a little weird, like when you actually see on the page an illustration of like a pig walking on two legs, you're like, well, that's kind of weird.
Right. I didn't really think about how that would look.
Yeah, exactly. But then a lot of the things are like really scary, like actually scarier than reading them. Because you're like seeing like these massacres that happen when some of the animals are killing the other animals, or like this scary thing is happening, and you actually see it on the page and you're like, oh my God, this is actually more brutal than I even imagined when I was reading it. So it hit you in like new ways. I reached new emotional depths.
I see.
Yeah, I just loved it. I thought it was so, so good.
Yay. That's amazing. I'm so glad.
On that note, it is now time for book news. So, Raylene, do you want to start us off with book news today? I'm very curious. This is kind of fun because, like, with our currently reading and our last finished, I kind of have a sense of what you might talk about. But with book news, I have no idea what's coming.
Right? Okay. And I've had so many different ideas for book news, and I'm like, I don't know which one to settle on. So I think I'm just going to go with one that I feel like is very topical right
now. Okay, I'm ready.
And it's topical because it's based around a book that you are currently reading.
Uh-oh.
Have you heard that Normal People is being made into a show?
Yes. So I just saw the first trailer posted on Instagram.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. I forgot to watch it before we started recording, but I am very excited.
Yeah, it looks kind of, I think it's a mini series, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a 12 episode mini series.
I love that.
Oh, so good. And I saw something in the article that was related to it when I was looking this up that referred to Sally Rooney as Salinger for the Snapchat generation. And
yes,
I thought that was so cool.
Seen that. That is so funny. I'm there for it. It's kind of a crazy thing to say, but I'm there for it.
It's like, whoa, okay, that's pretty high praise for her, I guess, in a weird way.
That's so funny. Yeah. I know. I think that's really exciting. I'm trying to think, like, there's been a couple of recent adaptations from like contemporary adult fiction, like Big Little Lies, Little Fires Everywhere, stuff like that. But this just seems like it could be really unique.
Well, yeah, because what's interesting about this, too, is that it's about, like, young adults. Like, it's an adult book, but it's about young people. And it's kind of a cool thing, because this type of show, I feel like, might not have been made, like, 10, 15 years ago, because it focuses heavily around, like, sex and love of young people, right? So it's the type of thing that is becoming more normal to just be like, here you go. This is a thing that we can show, and it's nice.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
I agree. I'm really excited for that. Do you know when it's slated to come out?
I don't know. Everywhere I've looked just said 2020.
Okay, so this year.
Sometime this year, yeah, that's for sure.
Well, I picked the right time to finally tackle my Sally Rooney Tubi Red Pile.
So true. The only thing that makes me mad about this is that it's Hulu, and there's no way I'm going to watch it.
Oh, no.
So this is book news and book sadness at the same time.
Oh, no. I hate that. It's like looking for Alaska. We still haven't watched it.
Oh, that's tragic.
We don't have Hulu in Canada, everyone.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Watch it?
Oh, man, that's the worst.
Doesn't that suck?
The same with Little Fires Everywhere is Hulu.
Oh, my God. I know that was going to be my book news, and then I got so mad that I just didn't talk about it.
I don't know. It's just kind of like, I don't know. It's frustrating. It's frustrating. And like I was about to complain that like it's not fair. Canadians deserve it, but like all countries deserve it.
Right? I feel like everyone should be able to watch it. Why can't everything just be on Netflix? I don't understand why other things have to exist. It makes
me angry.
But
the funny thing is, like, Canada has a really good Netflix compared to other countries. Like,
I used
to spend a lot of time in the UK. UK Netflix is not good. They do not have as much stuff as we do. And our Netflix is not good compared to the States. So.
Oh, I know. When I was in the States one time, I was like, they have Parks and Rec? What? They just have so many good things that we don't get. I try not to think about that.
Well, I very much like that book news, and you're right, very topical to me. Maybe I should have been the one that did that book news, but I was
I just wanted
not
to make sure
enough.
That you knew, in case you didn't.
Well, my book news is really, really strange.
I can't wait.
It kind of came into my life by accident, aka I saw it on an Instagram story, and I saw this, and I was like, that has to be my book news. So this is from the Smithsonian. They have an article entitled, and the article really, it tells the book news perfectly.
Okay.
Ex-librarian and bookseller plead guilty to stealing rare texts worth $8 million from Pennsylvania library.
What on earth?
I just thought this was so perfect.
Yes.
The subtext is, Greg and John stole and resold hundreds of rare texts over a 25-year period between 1992 and 2017. So the archivist, Greg Priori, he would smuggle out documents from the library that he worked at.
Yeah.
And then he would go to this this bookseller, John Shulman, who would resell them. So they had kind of like a whole smuggling circle going on. And right here it says, library staff discovered the deception in April 2017 when a routine insurance appraisal revealed 320 missing items, including atlases, maps, books, photograph albums, manuscripts, as well as 16 damaged works. So now what's happened is obviously they're going through a whole lawsuit and all of this sort of stuff. They both pled guilty because they clearly did it. And but the interesting thing is that they're also having to try and find all of the things that that these guys stole. And they found actually quite a lot of it because the rare book world is very, very interesting and strange. Hmm. But like people, it kind of stays within the own world. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah, that makes sense, I guess.
It's like collectors and booksellers all kind of know where stuff is. So a lot of it has been recovered, but a lot of it hasn't. And some of it has been destroyed. It is so interesting. One of my favorite parts was, like, one of the other librarians was like, we feel so betrayed that someone we knew could do something so awful. And it's dramatic. Like, it is sad. Oh, my God. Okay, this quote. We'll end it on this quotation. The Priori said, I should have never done this. I loved that room, the rare books room. My whole working life and greed came over me. I did it. But Shulman spurred me on.
That's hilarious. Like, I'll admit it, but it wasn't all my fault.
Isn't that the most dramatic book news you've ever heard?
That really is. I don't think we'll ever be able to top that.
I know. I'm pretty excited by it. But I wanted to ask you, if you had to steal a rare book, what would it be? We won't. We promise. But what would it be?
A first edition of The Great Gatsby?
Yes, mine would be a first edition of Animal Farm.
Yeah, because it's like, there's no way I'd ever be able to afford that.
Oh my God, I know.
I haven't looked it up, but it would probably be at least $50,000 or something crazy.
I know. You know. And the thing is, like, I wouldn't even try and resell it because that's what they were doing.
I was like, I would just keep it. I would add it to my collection. that's like the one copy I'll never have of the Great Gatsby for my collection, which is so sad. Oh, so sad.
Maybe one day, Raylene. One day.
It's the dream. Maybe I'll be able to steal it.
Oh, man. Well, it is now time to move into our recommendations. So, our first recommendation comes from Rosalind. Rosalind asks, do you have any books that are completely unique premises? Not in that they're fantastically strange or flipping tropes on their axes, just very different in a specific way. I'm thinking of The Music Shop by Rachel Joyce, Sourdough, or Before the Coffee Gets Cold. Something that's not interesting because it's adventurous or totally magical, but because it's well and truly different. Raylene, what do you have that was well and truly different?
Okay, so this one tried to kill me because I know I know exactly what she's asking for, and yeah. I don't think I've read any books like other than, say, Mr. Penumbras or whatever. Like, there's a couple of books I've read, but we've already talked about them. Yeah. I want to bring them back up again. So I was like, what have I read that's like this? Mm. And I was going to recommend a manga for this one, but yeah. The manga that I had in mind wouldn't have been a perfect fit, and I don't know if she would have liked it. So I racked my brain all day long. I spent the entire day at work thinking about this.
I love this.
And I eventually came up with a book that I think is a pretty great pick. Okay. And that is Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close by Jonathan Safran Foer. Have you read this one?
I have not. I know that obviously there was a movie made for it, but uh-huh. This was such a big book for such a long time. And I'm very curious about it because all I know is that it has to do with 9/11.
Yeah, so like you said, it has to do with 9/11. Basically, the main character is this boy named Oscar. He's 9. So the main character is a kid, and his dad died during 9/11. And so he was very sad, obviously, and he is looking for something to connect himself to his dad. And he's digging through his dad's stuff one day, and he finds this key. And he asks his mom, like, what is this key for? And she has no idea. And so he takes it upon himself to run around New York, because that's obviously where he lives, and try and unravel the mystery of what this key belongs to, how it's connected to him. Yeah, so it's very, like, weird. It's kind of specific because it's like a treasure hunt almost. It's about this kid going on a hunt around New York and running around, going, like, literally everywhere, just talking to all these different people who he manages to find clues along the way. And oh, it's so good. And the formatting of the book is kind of interesting, too. Like, there are pictures, and there are some pages that have, like, less words on them.
Oh, I had no idea. I know that he's also done another book that's, like, really bizarre. Hidden. It's something like trees hidden. What am I thinking?
Oh, is that the one where the words are, like, cut out? Is that? I think I know which one you're talking
about. Yeah, what is that book called?
I don't remember.
I'm going to look that up while you keep talking.
Okay. But, yeah, and this one, there's even one page or a couple of pages where there's a bunch of words crossed out. And so whenever I, like, look at this book and flip through it, I'm like, someone wrote in my book. But then I realize it's just how the book is. And there's one page where the writing, like, the line spacing gets smaller and smaller. And it's just like, what is going on? But it all adds to the book and the story.
That's really
and everything.
Cool. I like when people play it with, like, with the form that much. Yeah. The book, by the way, is called Tree of Codes.
Right. Yeah, I remember that one. I've never read it, but I've heard of it.
It says, Foer took Bruno Schulte's book, The Street of Crocodiles, and cut out the majority of the words, and mm-hmm. what's left is the new book.
Yeah, that's so cool.
So cool.
Yeah. Get that. So cool. So yeah, that's my recommendation. I can't wait to hear what yours is.
I think that that's a really perfect recommendation. I think it's really interesting. I had no idea that that's what that book was about. Like, I've heard so many people talk about that, but no one ever mentioned this cool key. Uh-huh. Had I known about the key, I would have been more intrigued about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Well, I actually had the opposite problem, really. I thought of, like, 4 books that I mm-hmm. wanted to recommend, and I don't want to name them all because, you know, they might come up for other ones.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna stick to my guns, okay. And I'm gonna pick the one that really came to me.
Okay.
And it is, and I don't know if you've read this. It is Jonathan Livingston Seagull by who's it by?
Richard Bach.
Richard Bach. That's the one. Mm-hmm. So this is a really strange book.
It truly is.
as Rosalind says, so you have read it.
I have. Yeah, I read it because you read it and you talked about it. And I was like, oh, sounds so weird. Funny. I read it a long time ago. Yeah.
There you go. You read it because I thought it was a weird. Yeah, because it's weird. That's so funny. So, yeah. So Rosalind is asking for like a strange and unique premise, a unique premise. And I think that this is one of the most unique premises I've ever read. So it's a book about seagulls. And I kid you not, my friends, that's what it's about. Jonathan Livingston is the main character, who is a seagull. And he lives in a community of seagulls. There are no humans in this book. It's all seagulls. First, kind of similar to you, Raylene, as you know since you've read it, it has a bit of a unique form because a lot of the pictures, a lot of the pages have photographs of seagulls on them, and it kind of, like, the words aren't just, like, a normal book, like, from top to bottom. It's a bit, like, some of the pages have words in different places and stuff, but it is more, like, it is kind of a straightforward story. It's very short. And it's about, you know what's in my mind right now because I'm thinking about this book is the smell of that book. I don't know why, but the book has a very different smell than any other of my books.
That's like Harry Potter books. I don't know what it is.
The paper that they printed on it must be different, but I can very strongly smell it right now. And I'm not holding it, my friends. It's on my shelves behind me. Regardless.
That's beautiful.
Jonathan Livingston Seagull loves flying. He just loves to fly, and everyone, all the other seagulls, they only fly out of necessity and practicality. Like, oh, I need to get somewhere, or oh, I need to go fishing or whatever, then they'll fly. But Jonathan Livingston, he just loves it. He loves flying, and the more he flies, the like he starts to learn tricks, and he starts to like learn. This is so weird, as I say. starts to like learn how to flip and learn how to do like special moves in the air, and he gets basically ostracized by his community because they all think he's a freak.
Yeah,
and they're all like, "You're doing weird things to our community. What's going on? I don't like it. Go away." And he kind of gets like removed from the community. But then I don't want to spoil the whole book, but as the book goes by, you read about what becomes of Jonathan Livingston and how other, like, he kind of starts a movement within the community. It's about like inclusion, communities, about being yourself, listening to your passions, following your heart. It's really a beautiful book. It's very strange. I would say it's very meditative and peaceful because it is just about seagulls flying around.
Yeah,
and I really love that book. I've recommended it to a lot of people, and I think it gets mixed reviews because it is quite strange. And I don't think anyone can ever be fully prepared for what it is. Like, you can't know what it is going into it, even after what I've told you. Like, it's weirder than you think. But it is such a cool premise, and I really enjoyed it. Did you like it? I don't remember.
I think it was like a 3 out of 5. Like, yeah, I enjoyed it, but I didn't love it. Yeah, I was like, okay, that was a book about seagulls. That's what it was.
It might be perfect for Rosalind because she's looking for strange things.
Exactly. No, if that's what you're looking for, I think that that's a perfect recommendation for sure.
All right. Do you want to hit up our next one?
Well, of course. So Chelsea is saying, I'd love to read a book about a really strong group of friends, kind of like Six of Crows or Lunar Chronicles. I'm also really struggling to find any books with asexual representation in it. So if you could combine those two things, that would be really cool. And I'm going to get all the points on this one because I have a book that it's actually a series that covers both of those things.
Okay, well, I got really scared because I'm feeling really good about my pick. And I was like, wait, there can't possibly be two that fit this. I bet you've just picked mine, but mine is not part of a series. So
yeah, and I know you haven't read this. So the one that I picked is Every Heart a Doorway by Seanan
McGuire. Oh, okay. Yeah. That is high on my to be read pile.
This series is the best. I love this series so much. It's the Wayward Children series, if anybody is wondering. So this is a series of novellas. All of the books are under 200 pages long. And they are a fantasy series that are, depending on the book, they're kind of set in the real world. So basically what this first book is about. So there's this school that people go to.
I love
It's so a lot. Yeah, it's a lot to explain. Okay, so there's a school. That's the first thing you need to think about. Second thing you need to think about is that there are magical worlds out there that nobody knows about except for people who specifically get to go to them. So there are doorways that open up for certain people, certain kids usually, and they go through them, and it's a fun place like Wonderland or Narnia, and they hope to stay right there forever. On through. They just go through that doorway, and they hope to stay there because it's usually a place that's perfect for them, like it's a place that yeah. they belong, and so they feel more at home there than they do in the real world. But then sometimes they get forced to go home, and then they're like stuck in the real world again. And so this is a school for people who have come back through their doorways, and they're basically depressed about being in the real world again.
So are any of the characters, this is a question I've had for a long time about this series, are any of the characters like characters we've heard of? Like, are any of them like
no
a Susan from Narnia and
no these like, are all characters? Like, that's the thing that I love about this series, is that it feels like it's a classic fairy tale or a classic story you've heard before, but none of the worlds are actually things that have been, it's not like, you know, in fiction before.
Goldilocks isn't in it or something.
Exactly. Okay, they're all just totally random.
I was always
people.
Curious about that, so that's very interesting that that's been confirmed for me now.
Yeah, exactly. So the main character in this first book is named Nancy, and she is asexual. And it's
about
in the book.
Oh my god, it's perfect!
Yeah, it's one of the books that people talk about the most when they're like talking about asexual representation, because like Chelsea said, there's not a lot of that in fiction, but Shauna McGuire really covers a lot of ground in her books. Like, she's very, very good at being inclusive and having diverse people in the books and all that kind of stuff, so that's something that I really love about her in general.
I'm kind of pretending and faking it here, but Shauna McGuire is a personal friend of the podcast, because she replied to two of our tweets when we were running the reading rush, and that basically makes her our best friend.
She is our friend. I love her.
Yeah, that's the only thing I know about her. I'm like, she's great. I love her.
Hysterical. Well, it's funny because a lot of her older books are kind of like urban fantasy, like paranormal almost, like very different vibe from these. So I've never read any of her other stuff because they seem totally different, but whatever, that's fine. But yeah, so back to like the tight group of friends though. This book, obviously the main, the main character shows up at the school for the first time because she's just come back from her through her doorway, and so she's lonely and sad and whatever, and she goes to this school, and all of the people who are there already know each other really well. And so as the story progresses though, she integrates herself into the group, and they all become really good friends, and because they all have something to relate on, like they're all, you know, but there's also like a mystery in this book. There's like a murder mystery, which is a big part
of
this.
And they're so short. How does she pack it all in?
Oh, I don't know. It's so crazy. I don't understand it. Every single book is so good and has so much to it, but it's never too much. Like, that's the thing. Because they're so short, there's no filler. It's just kind of like, here we go, everything's happening, and then we're done. Like, she just ends it in the perfect spot and doesn't drag it out. And I'll just say, since I'm talking about it, the rest of the series is really interesting too, because like I said, this one takes place in the real world at this school, but most of the other books take place within like the different worlds that people are going into. And there's so many different types of world. Like, she has invented a really interesting fantasy setup that, like I said, it feels classic, even though it's still being written to this day.
I said, I haven't read it, but I am very intrigued. I absolutely love the covers of these books, some of the nicest covers of all time. But my one anecdote about these books is that I've been very interested about them. I've heard a lot of people that read similar things to me liking them, and I just like was very convinced, that's definitely a book I need to pick up at some point. But I just hadn't gotten around to it. I was in New York with my two of my best friends, who are some of your best friends, Jeffrey and Jeremy. And we were walking around New York, and we were going by the old Macmillan offices. So Macmillan used to be in the Flatiron Building, but they moved. And so they had obviously thrown out a lot of stuff, and there was dumpsters full of stuff outside the Macmillan offices. God. Just garbage. They'd just thrown stuff out, and mainly it was just papers. You know, like paper sheets, forms, crap that had just been thrown out. But there was ARCs in there. There was advanced reader copies in there. So we were just digging around. We spent, I don't know, we spent like half an hour digging around. And I know my Jeffrey found a Funko Pop of Rick from Rick and Morty and stuff. And like, we were just digging. And I found the first three books in that series as ARC copies. And just instantly like that had the entire trilogy. Now I know there's a fourth book. But
there's five.
Or fifth books, sure. Yeah. But I, like, at the time, I think there had only, the fourth one had only just come out or mm-hmm. something. So I was like, I just got the whole trilogy for free.
That's so
from
cool.
From the dumpster.
I love that. That's super fun. And actually, while we're talking about it, now I'm thinking this might be the perfect fantasy series for you because they're
short.
They're short. That's your one thing against fantasy, usually.
It's the thing that scares me.
Right? And it's kind of like half real world, half fantasy. So it's, yeah. there's nothing too weird to like get into. It's really accessible fantasy, I guess you could say.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about it. God damn it. This podcast, more than any other one, you've been pushing stuff up my list, let me tell you. All right. Well, the recommendation that I have for this, I also think is perfect. Have you read it yet? I don't remember. It's Radio Silence by Alice Oseman.
Not yet.
Oh,
not
my
yet.
God. Okay. I claim mashed potatoes for you. That's a mashed potatoes book.
Yeah,
you need
okay.
to read
I know.
One.
I actually, every time I look at my shelf to decide what to read next, I'm like, is it time for Radio Silence? Is it time yet?
It is. And
I think it'll have to be time, like this now. Is... Maybe I'll just read it.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely a book that I've mentioned on the podcast before, but it is actually so perfect for this that I couldn't not recommend it to Chelsea. So Radio Silence is about, the main character is not asexual, but it's the, like, secondary protagonist that is. So
okay.
it's still, like, a main character is asexual. The main character is bisexual, which I really like that there's just a lot of interesting representation there. But the main character, basically, it sounds boring, but it's really not. She's just really stuck on what to do for school. So basically, she's, like, all her life worked really hard at being the perfect student. And feels like she's supposed to go to university for something very academic, but she doesn't want to, but she feels irresponsible doing anything else. And the thing that she really loves is art. And so she has this podcast called Universe City that she's obsessed with. And so she does fan art for it. And she'll like tweet about it or whatever and share it. And one day, this is kind of like the catalyst of the book, she gets a direct message from the creator of the podcast saying, hi, I actually make this podcast. And he's like super secretive. No one knows who makes the podcast. Yeah. That's part of the whole mystique of it. And he's like, I love your fan art. And I wondered if I could use some of it for upcoming episodes if you wanted to like basically pair up, team up. And she's just like, oh my God, this is so exciting. And then, yeah, she finds out who it is, obviously, and they become friends. And it's about many things, but it's about friendship. It's about like trusting yourself to know what's best for you and not letting outside sources tell you what you need to be doing. It's about not letting societal pressure decide what you should do. It's about art. It's a really great book. It's one of my favorite young adult books. I recommend it to a lot of people. And the other thing that I really love about it is that it reads so well. It is so readable. And I know that that's not really a word, but like there are a lot of books that I have encountered that like Twilight is a really good example of it, that it's just so readable. Like even though Twilight is like 450 pages or whatever, so is Radio Silence. Radio Silence is like over 400 pages, but I read it in like 2 days or like 3 days because you just pick it up and you pick it up and then you put it down and you realize you just read 60 pages and you're like, what the hell? Like it just flies by.
It's
so
not
well
a drag
written.
Like some books are.
No, it's not a drag. It's so well written. The pacing is really good. The characters are really interesting. So to Chelsea's point, like I mentioned, it's the creator of the podcast. He is asexual. He's demisexual. And then the main character has not really many friends at the beginning, but it like they basically get a group of friends that like
the main
friendship, I guess, is between those two characters, but it's more there's more to it than that. They kind of become a little crew by the end of it, and it's just really beautiful and touching, and like the kind of friendships that everyone wants to have, like you wish you had. So yeah, it was just like when I read that you had picked this one, I was like, I have the perfect book.
That's awesome. I feel like this is really good because a lot of people send us emails asking for books about people in, you know, looking to figure out what they're doing with their lives and stuff. We get so many requests like that. So I feel like this book is also perfect for those people and everyone should just read it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's a really good one. And I really like it. I really want to reread it. Oh, another thing I was going to mention is Alice Oseman has a new book coming out. I think it's next year. I don't think it's coming out this year. But actually, you know, it might be coming out this year. Who knows? Look it up. It's called Loveless, and it's about an asexual character. And she has talked a lot about how it's like her most personal book yet. And it's been the most like raw for her to write, very difficult for her to write. Mm. So I think that the representation is going to be really cool on that one. I'm excited to check it out.
Have you read any of her other books yet?
I haven't. I own, what was the first one? What's the first one called that she... that kind of, oh, Solitaire. I own Solitaire, but I haven't read it yet. And I Was Born for This is her most recent book that came out, and I wasn't really entranced by the idea of it. Like, I was just kind of like, that doesn't sound like the book for me. But Loveless, I'm very intrigued about.
Yeah, I feel like she's like a hot new author, even though she's not like super new. I feel like she's coming out right now and
things. For a long time, she's been doing like really cool things. Like, I'm obviously coming out with books, and she has a webcomic that like does really, really well called Heartstopper, about a young gay couple, which I don't read the series, but because I follow her on Instagram, I kind of know about this like web series, and it's been published in collections by Macmillan, which is so cool.
Yeah, actually, I was just going to say, I read that. I had to get it off Book Depository because it was only available from the UK, but
it's
coming out.
And this is what I was going to say. Yeah, this is what I'm going to say. I feel like for a long time she's been doing really cool stuff, but kind of only getting recognition in the UK. And I feel like she's starting to spill over here to North America too, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end of our episode. Thank you so much to everyone for listening. Like we mentioned, make sure to go over to our Patreon to vote for what our book club book should be. And make sure to check us out on Instagram, because we love hearing from you guys. Also, if you enjoy the podcast, we'd really appreciate if you'd share about us on Instagram or on Twitter. Let your friends know that they should be tuning in.
Heckle yeah.
Yeah. So thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.